There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason that I'm here, I'm a father of five, so's Dave. We're in studio today in my basement in Elbert County, Colorado. And we look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview. We want to know what's going on. We also have a vision for the future. We actually want life to be better for our children than it was for us. And we really want to lay down a vision for future generations. And we'll start with the news today. What's happening in the news? Every now and then we like to look at the news and say, okay, well, how does this comport with a biblical way of looking at things? And, Dave, you remember we talked a little bit about Jamie Lynn Spears' fornication. She's, of course, a sister to Britney Spears. Yes, thank you. Almost forgot her name. Maybe we ought to get one of her albums. I don't know. Anyway, Dave, what's sad about this story is that it's widely assumed now within the publishing industry that OK Magazine paid the Spears family for the exclusive rights to the pregnancy news. U.S. Weekly, another celebrity magazine, cited sources who said that Jamie Lynn's mother, Lynn Spears, had sold the pregnancy story for $1 million, printing the assertion on the cover of last week's issue. Dave, what does a Southern Baptist mother do when her 16-year-old daughter is pregnant? Call up U.S. Magazine and say, my daughter sinned. I'll sell you the story for $1 million.
I think that's just good stewardship.
I'm sure she'd tithe on the money, don't you think?
I would think so.
What is this world coming to, Dave? You're selling your daughter's sin to a magazine? It's beyond my comprehension. And she's a Southern Baptist. By the way, she's writing a book for Thomas Nelson Publishers on Christian parenting, too. Just throw that in, too. And I'm sure she'll make a million or two on that.
What does it profit a man? Well, about $1 million.
Roughly.
Yeah.
On to other things. Also in the news, Bhutto was murdered last week in Pakistan. Did I say her name right?
I'm not sure. I don't speak Pakistani.
Well, she was killed. And that's what Muslims do to the opposition. You know, in America, we just go down to Florida and count ballots.
Yes. We do character assassination here.
Yeah.
There, they just do assassination. They skip the whole character part.
Yeah. They do the assassination. That's what anarchical nations do. They kill the opposition. And, you know, Muslim nations have always been anarchical. In fact, somebody has done a website. I need to find this website where he has categorized every single terrorist event for the last 30 to 40 years. Every time it happens, usually, you know, three, four, five a day. And guess how many Muslims?
I think it's like 99% are Muslims. There was a couple of the Irish Republic, and then there was a thing in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But by and large, there's a Muslim involved.
Yeah, exactly. Religion of peace, again.
But to be fair, this is what communists do as well. I think of Vladimir Putin. It's a very bad idea to be opposed to him in the former Soviet Union.
It is. You get poisoned. But nothing to the extent of the Muslims. Muhammad had quite a worldview there. Acting. In fact, he got an army together pretty much right away. It seems to me that this religion of peace seems to engage in jihad an awful lot.
They're very, very peaceful religion right up to the moment they get a weapon.
Yeah, exactly. To the point where someone hands them a 45 and then it's all over. All right. In Malaysia, it's now illegal to say Allah unless you're Muslim. So, Dave, be careful. I know you're scheduling a trip here to Malaysia. Be very careful with the word Allah.
I'll be very careful while I'm there. I'll be sure to order some pie a la mode.
Come on, there, you did it again. Dave, come on. You're going to be... And don't name your teddy bear Muhammad, please.
No, just call him Mo. You can get by with Mo.
Okay, all right. Also in the news, here's a speech by Mohammad Taher al-Farouk, leader of the Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan. And this was posted on December 3rd, 2007. Quote, our goal is to implement Islamic law, the law of the Quran, in God's kingdom. In other words, this kingdom, which belongs to God, should be ruled by the laws of God alone. Of course, what he means is the laws of Allah. You know, every religion has its own system of law, Dave. I mean, this is an aside, but the humanists have their law, Christians have their law, and the Muslims have their law. And, you know, guess what? They don't all agree with each other. So he wants to impose Islamic law on every nation on earth. That's their goal. That's a stated goal. Today, the enemies of Islam object to this goal, just like they did during the time of Muhammad. But let me announce to the believers, to the nation of Muhammad, that in the very near future, thanks to the sacrifices made by the nation of Muhammad, we will regain our glory of past times. As long as there are infidels and enemies of God's kingdom, this movement will continue its jihad. Allah willing, America will soon be annihilated, just like the USSR was annihilated. We are convinced of this. The people who made our nation proud by carrying on the 9/11 martyrdom operations in Washington and New York were the 19 best people of our nation. All the martyrs in Afghanistan, Chechnya, Iraq, Palestine, and elsewhere should be seen as role models. Allah willing, we will reach America. The men of this nation will reach America. So it goes with the peaceful religion. Dave, I honestly think that the Islamic Jihad is on a roll, and they probably will reach America in some form or another.
Oh, I think in the next year there will be at least one attempted terrorist event in this nation. I'm not going to say it's successful, but I will say there will be at least one attempted. There might be one that's successful. I think right now the problem is that there is so much hate fomented in Islam that it isn't an organized effort. In other words, it's not going to take Al-Qaeda to bring an attack. It might just be some guy in Detroit who got fired one day and he decides to blow up the factory.
Ladies and gentlemen, Islam is a gospel of violence. Islam spreads itself by means of violence. It did so for the first 100 years, from 632 to 732 after Muhammad died. For that first 100 years, they took most of North Africa and a great deal of the Middle East up into Turkey. They were stopped at Tours by Charles Martel. And in 732. And so, you know, again, from the beginning, from the very, very beginning, this is the way the Muslim worldview spreads. This is the way the kingdom spreads, by the sword. It's the only way. Unfortunately, the message itself doesn't really appeal to anybody. The message itself is go kill more people, and maybe you'll get more virgins in heaven. But it's a horrible message, but it seems to spread well by means of the sword. And so this is one reason why governments everywhere need to be aware of these things and fight the Muslim religion with everything they have, defend their nations from these horrific believers in this gospel of Allah. Dare I say it. By the way, this program is downloaded in Malaysia. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, be back. We're going to talk about Ron Paul and homosexuality. That's next on Generations. Back on Generations, friends, Kevin Swanson with you, and today looking at the news and trying to get caught up on what's going on in the zoo. Yeah, David's good from time to time to just kind of take a look at what's going on in the zoo and be thankful that God is still in the heavens and we can sit around and fear God and keep His commandments and worship God in our homes and enjoy God and glorify Him while the world, for the most part, seems to be going to hell in a handbasket. Okay, you know, here's Ron Paul again, back in the news. He was interviewed by the American View radio program, which is a program not unlike this program in many ways. But Ron Paul, you know, is a guy who's been fighting big government for most of his life, and we've commended him for some things in the past. But here he is on the American View, and he refuses to call homosexuality a sin. Now, you know, this kind of runs directly in conflict with Leviticus chapter 18. It says, if a man lies with another man as he lies with a woman, it is an abomination to God. And moreover, it says he's worthy of the death penalty. Well, there in Leviticus. Now, that's the word of God. And Romans chapter 1 has basically the same thing, that men burned in lust for one another, and therefore were worthy of death. And so you have these biblical passages, yet Ron Paul refuses to acknowledge that homosexuality is a sin. I mean, he comes head-to-head with the Word of God, and he cannot say that homosexual behavior is a sin, that if a man lies with another man as he lies with a woman, and we all know what that is. If that happens, the Bible calls that an abomination. No ifs, ands, or buts. There it is. There's no way to get around it. You can, you know, try to interpret that word or this word differently. You can say, hey, the Word of God does not apply. The commands of the Old Testament relating to bestiality and homosexuality, et cetera, do not apply because they not are not repeated in the New Testament, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can bring all your stupid hermeneutic arguments to bear. But the fact of the matter is, in black and white, the Word of God says that homosexual behavior is an abomination to God. There it is. Well, Ron Paul on The American View was asked by John Lofton on this very issue of homosexuality. And the man says, I'm not judgmental about that, probably because of my medical background. I have no idea what that has to do with anything. But anyway, that's what he said. I don't see it in simplistic terms, the way people are born, too complex to give an answer. I mean, this is sort of, I try to piece this all together. As I was listening to the program, Dave, but he refuses to present homosexuality as a sin. And when it comes to the don't ask, don't tell policy in the military, he says it's a decent policy. You know, the don't ask, don't tell policy that Clinton put out as far as homosexuals being in the military is concerned was a decent policy. Then Lofton came back and says, how do we find out if they are of any good moral character? It's virtually impossible if you're looking for perfection. He says, you know, I think we ought to eliminate people who murder, cheat, steal, and beat their wives from the military. But if they're homosexual, that's just fine. So effectively, that's what he said on The American View. And that was disappointing to me. I really thought the man was a man of principle and would be willing to stand up on the law of God. But, you know, I'm not sure he brings the law of God to bear as the absolute standard for right and wrong. He seems to be a humanist in some ways.
Well, this particular issue is one that divides the Republican Party pretty well. They call it a wedge issue, at least in terms of tactics. Ron Paul is on the wrong side of this issue, as is Mitt Romney, as is at times even Mike Huckabee. So, you know, you start looking at that. Who's going to stand for righteousness? Who is going to understand that what there's a difference between sin and crime, but crime is defined by God first, and then our criminal justice code should follow that. During the time of the Supreme Court decision, Brown versus Texas, of course, which is the one that legalized sodomy for the nation, Mike Huckabee thought it was a good decision. Where will we find the candidate who will fear God first?
Dave, I think a lot of conservative Christians come back to you and say, hey, homosexual issues, abortion issues, they don't have any traction. I had one pro-family conservative activist tell me that one point. I said, I think we ought to be working on the pro-life issue in Colorado government. This conservative came back to me and said, ah, it doesn't have any traction today. Well, Dave, when it really comes down to it, if you had God in the conference room, you're talking about the civil magistrate in Colorado or in America, and you had all these issues out on the board. You know, you said, okay, God, we want to talk about immigration. We want to talk about tax policy. We want to talk about homosexuality. You know, which issue do you think God would consider to be really, really important of an issue? Well, Dave, homosexuality is an important issue to God, as is abortion. I'm not sure taxes or the size of government is as important to God as the fact that this nation is encouraging homosexuality everywhere you turn. We're just doing everything we can to reward homosexuals and to teach homosexuality and to you know, impose hiring practices, whether it be in the military or anywhere else, for homosexuals on the same level as everybody else. Special rights for homosexuals are now being imposed in states all over America today. And you know what? I have a feeling God would say, in the past, you know why I destroy nations? You know why I bring fire and brimstone upon nations and city-states? Do you realize the reasons why I am going to bring a nation to its knees and destroy a nation economically or militarily? You know why I do that? Because of homosexuality. Think about the city of Sodom, Dave. God took Sodom down not because of its tax policy. Think about it. Not because of its immigration policy. He took Sodom down because of its homosexuality.
Yeah, let's say first off, all issues are moral issues. There are not social conservatives and then fiscal conservatives. There are those who submit and bow the knee to God and to God's law. God is, and his word does speak to, tax policy. He says, thou shalt not steal. He tells you at what point he becomes stealing. And it's stealing when you go to your neighbor and say, give to the government in order to give to me. God cares about that sort of thing. But that's not why he destroys societies. That may be how he destroys societies, but not why he destroys societies. He destroys societies in the past for murdering children. He doesn't like that. He destroys societies for that. We kill a lot of children through abortion here. He destroys societies for homosexuality, that which is an abomination to him. He's done that before. So those are things for which God has shown that he will destroy civilizations. Sometimes I think he'll destroy it by the tax policies, by the government tyranny. That may be his method, but that typically isn't the reason.
Dave, I'm confused at this point because, okay, we got some guys who are pro-homosexual. We got some guys that are anti-government. Some are pro-life, anti-homosexual, pro-big government, pro-big government. You know, which commandment do we want to disrespect in this presidential election? When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Man, that's the... That is where we have come to in this nation. Ladies and gentlemen, people come back to you, okay, well, is there something wrong with Ron Paul? There might be something wrong with Mike Huckabee. There might be something wrong with Alan Keyes. There might be something wrong with this, that, the other person. Yeah, there's something wrong with everybody. I'll tell you why there's something wrong with everybody. I'll tell you why you got Alan Keyes, whose daughter's a lesbian, has rebelled against their parents, and if a man can't rule his household well, how in the world can he rule in the household of God or anywhere else? Yeah, we've got problems everywhere. We've got problems in Alan Keyes' families. We got problems with Ron Paul and his position of homosexuality. We got problems with Mike Huckabee and his penchant for large government programs. And by the way, Chuck Norris just came out and said the reason why he likes Mike Huckabee is because Mike Huckabee got behind a child welfare program, a child health care program in Arkansas. You know, he's a big government guy. And okay, so you've got problems with all these people. Why do we have these problems? Because people have abandoned the law of God. Some people will still uphold the Sixth Commandment, but they'll be gung-ho for the redistribution of wealth and the violation of the Eighth Commandment, the Thou Shalt Not Steal Commandment. So some people like stealing. Some people hate homosexuality. Some people like abortion. Some people hate big government, et cetera, et cetera. Who do you vote for? When people have abandoned God's law, they pick and choose whatever law they want to uphold. And Dave, when it really comes down to it, they're not consistent on the law of God because the foundations are destroyed. What can the righteous do? I think the answer is we're gonna have to rebuild the foundations. And you know, my son came up to me the other day and he says, Dad, why do they spend so much money on the presidential race? Why is there so much focus on the presidential race? And you know, in Iowa caucus, Dave, they spent something like what, $200 a vote?
$200 per voter.
Man, $200 per voter. Can you imagine that? Ladies and gentlemen, $200. They could have been standing out in front of the voting booths, handing out $200 to every single person who voted in the state of Iowa. Why? Because, Dave, and this is the answer I gave to my son, because people trust in the power of one office to fix a nation. They trust in the President of the United States. They put all of their hopes in the basket of the United States presidential election, and they assume that one president can centralize the power in this one office and fix 300 million people. Dave, that's what people believe. That they put so much of their effort. Think about how quickly conversations go towards who you're going to support for president. Because if you can get Mike Huckabee in, we can just get Ron Paul into government, we're going to fix this country. People really believe that. They put so much energy behind that. And Dave, how many people have put that much energy into restoring fatherhood in America, for example?
Well, and that's the point. If we got the perfect president, if we got a man who was virtually sin-free, who was perfect on his economic policy, who was anti-abortion staunchly, who was anti-homosexuality, and had a plan to change that in government, if we had the perfect candidate, it wouldn't fix the nation because we'd still have 35% of children born without fathers. We'd still have 50% of marriages ending in divorce. And we'd still have a majority of churches refusing to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And so at the atomic level, our nation is failing. The molecules and atoms are falling apart, and we're worried about who's going to rule over the rubble?
Folks, the foundations are destroyed. What can the righteous do? And that's precisely what's happened in this country. So how in the world is the President of the United States going to solve the problem of 37% of children born without fathers? Who's going to solve that problem? And where's the passion of people who want to get a good president elected to fix all our problems? Where's that passion in the area of restoring fatherhood, restoring community, restoring relationships in a lost and lonely world? Where's the passion for that? Dave, it's amazing to me how people get so fired up about fixing this nation by means of politics, and yet they wind up losing the nation because the foundations were utterly destroyed and nobody was rebuilding fatherhood. Nobody was bringing fathers back into the homes and saying, man, it's time for you to start discipling your children in the Word of God. It's time for you to start at the molecule level, at the atomic level. It's time for you to start putting that family back together. It's time for you to start loving your wife. And we're just not going to fix this nation, my friends, if the foundations are destroyed.
And that's why Rudy Giuliani may be the poster child of this whole process. Here is a guy who covets power, who has had three divorces or three marriages, whose daughter hates him so much she's gone willing to support Obama or anyone but her father, and yet he wants to rule a nation. Why? Because apparently he can't rule his family. So might as well go to the next thing. I guess it's the Peter principle. If you're incompetent at one thing, get promoted.
Right, and that's, of course, why you have 100 million men out there fighting hard to get Hillary Clinton or Mike Huckabee or Ron Paul elected, and they're doing everything they can to try to make that happen while their own families are in shambles. Well, it's time to go home, folks. It's time to go home and start working on your own family. Unless that happens, the foundations will not be rebuilt, and this entire nation will come down, guaranteed. It always happens. The empires of men always come down. So why waste your time trying to build the empire when the basic constructs of a nation have come to pieces?
We need to have a reformation in the churches in America. We need to move away from this emotional, sappy, the gospel, just make a decision type of ministry. It's your best life now. How about serving God? How about the whole counsel of the Word of God? How about the duties of men? What does it mean to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? What does it mean to return to a worship that God is glorified rather than men being entertained? These are the things that have been robbed and stripped out of our pulpits, largely by systems that are taught in seminaries and a church that has become more and more irrelevant by the moment.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're not saying ignore civil government. We're not saying that at all. In fact, I would recommend you get behind local candidates who are fathers, who are really governing their own households well. That's obvious. And they are able to rule in the household of God, and they're able to rule in the civil magistrate because they've taken care of things at home. So you go out and find a godly father who rules his household well and support him for a local election. We support some great candidates here in Colorado. We have some tremendous House reps and senators here in Colorado who do a great job ruling their homes. Typically, they homeschool their children. And they're principled men who can stand on principle, and for the most part, they do stand on the Sixth Commandment, Seventh Commandment, the Eighth Commandment. They support the law of God. They don't compromise homosexuality, on abortion, on the size of government, et cetera, et cetera. They stand on these principles. And I think, Dave, the reason why I like to support these guys is because I know them. I know their families. They're guys in the local area who I spend time with. We can fix things if we begin to work in the local level, at the family, at the church level, and in our local communities and state governments. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations, and let me encourage you to get a copy of my new book, The Second Mayflower, which brings out all these issues, the balance of civil government, family government, and church government. I bring these out in my new book, The Second Mayflower, third edition, coming out in just about a month. If you're interested in reserving a copy of this book, call us at the office right now to reserve a copy of your hardback copy of The Second Mayflower. Call 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432, where I present a vision for the future, a vision for The Second Mayflower. Again, you can get the book by calling 877-842-2432. And you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.